Seated, 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 seated. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Seated with Lebo and Tata Rambedi. As you guys can see, I'm chilling with Michael B. Jordan today. I don't know what in the fashionista is happening to Lebo, but he's on a serious roll. Today's going to be a very, very exciting conversation, guys. We are speaking about rethinking success beyond the conventional, looking at what really defines success in this day and age. To give you guys a little bit more context, we're going to dive into the diverse dimensions of success, exploring how our personal achievements and societal expectations shape our perceptions. We'll share our unique stories, of course, personal experiences, and practical takeaways to redefine what success means to you. But today, I'm not alone, guys. I'm with my co-host, Lebo Rambedi, a.k.a. Michael Jordan.
I'm actually so unprepared for this. Are we still doing Lerata Dita?
Yeah.
Okay, so I sent it to you already.
Oh, my days.
So you will read that out. I'm just getting my bearings.
Yeah, so Lebo's getting his bearings, guys.
But hey, guys, welcome back to Seated of Lebo and Tata Rambedi. We hope that you guys are about to enjoy this particular podcast. Please do me a favor right now. If you're listening on any streaming platform, please give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
No questions asked. This is the best podcast in Africa. And then also, if
highest,
you're watching,
we've got the highest views and streams in Africa.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's new. I don't feel like I'm getting paid. Highest streams in Africa. But anyways, if you're watching on YouTube,
give me this camera, it's distracting you.
If you're watching on YouTube as well, then please subscribe, please like the video, and I hope you guys enjoy being seated with us.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one, guys. Yeah. Of course, we're going to La Taritaba, but we're gonna be speaking about current affairs, what's been happening, and of course, top five. So stick until the end to see what our top five is gonna be. And of course, as this podcast is going, guys, we've got some games which are gonna be really exciting. But we've got an icebreaker today because we're doing it a little bit different. Okay. Before we get into the how are you, okay. I want to know, what is the most unconventional success story that you've ever heard? Think of someone who turned a hobby into a career or achieved their goals in a unique way. Like something true and honest, something that's just like has blown your mind.
Oh, well, I think my favorite story is the fact that Facebook started off as a dating site. Like, it was a dating site for the people on campus to rate each other and all those things.
Yeah.
And then develop into Facebook. So that's one of my favorite ones. Because sometimes your formula is not the formula, the final formula that is going to make you money.
100%.
Yeah, but that's how they got so many users, and then they just converted it to Facebook also. So that's how
popular it is. It's crazy you're seeing Facebook. Mine is Yoko.
Yoko's a good one too.
Yeah, like I think it's so beautiful how you can design a piece of software that can give you generational wealth.
Yeah.
Because with Yoko is a payment distributor, payment thing that you can use. So every time you guys swipe on a Yoko, they make money, but like they make like 1% or 1-3%. So the fact that they have found a software or a system or whatever to make money every time someone uses their system is insane.
I think that's
true generational wealth. That's a forever thing. I think that's a beautiful success story. I think we already had payment processes, you know, in South Africa, pay flex, pay fast, all these things. So the fact that someone could come, I think they're also black, ne? One of the founders are black.
I'm not sure. One of the founders
should be black.
I'm not too sure.
And then they could come up with Yoko is beautiful. I even heard, I don't know how true this is, I heard that Black Coffee has like some shares in Yoko, like maybe like 5% or 3%, and that makes him the most amount of money in everything that he does.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
I remember when I was with you.
You didn't get a fact checker or something. But yeah.
You didn't get a fact checker on that.
Allegedly.
Honorable mention, A24 Productions. Oh, yeah. That's an honorable mention. You know A24?
No.
So it's a movie production studio in America. And they were so tired and so sick of like remakes and, you know, you make the fifth Iron Man, the seventh Iron Man. They wanted original filmmaking stories that aren't being presented to the public.
Okay.
And they started a production company. And at first, what they did is just, you know, whoever made movies at that time, if it was like, they felt like it was good, they take it and then they back it. And then there would be A24. But then they started writing their own movies. And that's how we got Moonlight.
Oh, wow.
Which won that award. I forgot what it's called. That award,
whatever. Oh, cool.
Instead of La La Land back then.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So do we do How Are You and then La Taritaba or the other way around?
We do How Are You then La Taritaba.
Okay, so now let's go into...
It's your first time.
Let's get into How Are You? Of course, guys, we're going to read what you guys are saying and how you
guys
are.
Oh my God, there's a bug.
Just sweep it away, bro.
Okay, awesome. So, How Are You? I'm okay, but lonely. I just finished matric last year and all my friends are in university right now. I'm only going to uni overseas in October. Because of that, there's not much communication from their end due to them being busy and whatnot. I do check on them all the time. She's talking about the friends. But they don't check on her. Like, the only time we talk now is when I reach out. I can't lie, it's getting tiring and it feels one-sided and has resulted in me not talking to them until they text me first. Should I let this friendship and the friendship group go/die, or should I continue reaching out?
Nice one. That's a nice one.
That's a good,
how so, are you? To be fair, you've given us such amazing context, which helps us really answer you. Yeah. Your friends are going through change. They're in university, they're making new friends, they've got assignments, they're going through a lot of just new workflows, new environments, they are partying, they're introduced to the club, to bars, to restaurants, and they're doing that and living that with their community. You might just be at home waiting for your amazing opportunity coming in October to come, but now you have more free time and you are seeking the time of your friends, but your friends are occupied right now. So I think you need to be more understanding towards what your friends are currently doing, and then be realistic of how much you can speak to your friends. Your friends aren't in high school anymore and you guys can talk every day after school. They have actionable things that they can do that are fun and that are fulfilling in university and that are new.
They're not stuck in the prison of high school.
Nor are they stuck at home waiting for an amazing opportunity that you have in America or overseas. So I think fill up your days and take control of your life and understand that your friends won't be as easily accessible as they were in the past. That's just the truth of it. I think don't throw them away. We shouldn't forget that friends are very seasonal. You can have friends in high school, which can be long life friends, but then they become low maintenance friends. You get friends in university who are your friends during the university period, but when you start working, they start moving to Cape Town, Durban, New York, it changes. So understand that your friends are also seasonal, but the love for them doesn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think as a friend, you should always have space to become
a low maintenance friend,
and as well as a high maintenance friend. Yeah. You should be able to, you know, move around that threshold and be like, okay, cool, I'm going up now, I'm going low. And this is a moment where you have to go low.
You have to go low.
You know? And if you feel like this is too low, that is when you step away. Like, you're just really not having a friendship at this point.
Yeah.
Let's hear up for the next one. It says, I hear you guys, but then my next question comes from what gents say these days about how women aren't builders anymore. Is it that women aren't actually builders in the sense that they can carry, I don't know if she meant are or aren't, but is it that women are actually builders in the sense that they can carry their own now and build with you, but men are not prepared to yield the fulfillment from being sole provided?
You've confused all of us. I hear you guys, but my next question comes from what gents say these days about how women aren't builders anymore. Is it that women are actually builders in the sense that they can carry their own now and they build with you, but men are not prepared to yield that fulfillment from being sole providers? So I think we touched on this in the previous episode. We basically said that women, I don't know if we said this or we touched on this, that women don't want to build or be builders in relationships with their partners.
Oh, he's going to be taken care of.
Maybe you guys are wrong. I don't agree with you guys. Mm. Maybe it's the thing of men aren't ready to be with builders because they're so used to being the sole provider. Mm. So she's posing the question like, guys, have you thought about it like that, that men don't know how to diminish that leadership role or maybe just even reduce it in order to allow for the women to also be builders in the relationship? And that's a real thing, guys. I think men get very intimidated quite easily when it comes to successful women.
Yeah, I saw this TikTok comment, whatever. This lady was like, oh yeah, my aunt makes 60,000 rand per month, but her husband, she puts it straight into investment, straight, all of it, because her husband gives an allowance and takes care of her and all those things, right? Mm. And the men under there were saying like, this is so selfish, this is so whatever. You know, I feel like this statement, what said person said, is very, yeah, cool. But in reality, women right now, the current standard is please take care of me. So I understand the whole chat of like maybe we won't be fulfilled if we're the sole provider, but I don't think we'll ever have the experience of not being a provider.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I hear both sides.
Like, yeah. I don't think we'll ever get. So this is like a, in theory.
Yeah.
In fantasy.
Because I've met women who... Yeah. I've met women who are builders, who want to contribute towards the household.
100%, yeah.
And we've seen multiple dual income households across family and friends. But at the end of the day...
The man.
Women don't enjoy it. Mm. I mean, that's what I've heard from my friends.
Yes.
Like, women would be like, yo, I'm so tired of having to...
Take care and provide
financially. I just want to be in my femininity. Mm. I just want to be soft. I just want to relax. And that's okay. Mm. So I think I hear your perspective, but I also do hear the lady's perspective of saying that, like, some guys genuinely are intimidated by builders and they don't know how to be with women that can contribute financially to the house.
Basically, like, let's just ask the question, would you be a house husband? Like, that's basically like...
Me, would I be a house husband?
Would you feel fulfilled in that?
No.
100% I would. 100%, 100%, 100%.
You would.
I would. What do you mean, Tato? What do you mean? You don't... That's how much the society has polluted the man's brain, that being a house husband seems like a bad thing. These girls have it all, man. They have the... No, you just train your body, make sure the house and home is warm and clean and all
look
those
good.
Things. And that time you can have a helper. So that means you just low-key... pointing where to clean, you know, and then you just train yourself, you have hobbies, you're basically living life as it's meant to be, like in a, because that's how you would live in a tribe community, every day filled with fulfillment.
Yeah, I always think about,
are you kidding me?
I always think about the girls that like I date.
Yeah.
Like, if I could be exactly. there for a week.
Exactly that.
If I could be them for a week.
Sorry for shouting. Oh. Exactly that. So
imagine you just eat. You don't care financially where it came from.
Yeah. So that
cost. Ubers are for free. Your transportation is free. You're being fetched.
Like that
you
whole.
You point at a bag. You send me those bags. Before yes. She says, get the bag.
Go get the bag.
You say, baby, I would like something. You say, okay, cool, no problem. Baby, my hair.
Your hair, man. Swara 1,000.
No, man. That's why, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and we were saying, I think it might have been you. You can see a happy woman that's taken care of, and you can see a woman that's not being taken care of, like, in the mall. Like, a woman that's, I was thinking about, like, mama, for example. Like, my mom, when she's out in the mall and stuff, she's radiant, she's full of energy, she's talking to people, how are you? You know, she's nice, she's enjoying life. You can see that's a woman that works hard and is also taken care of. You get women that you can see they are there walking alone with their kid and they are sour. And you can see that they are not taken care of because they're not allowed to live in their femininity. Because they're being forced to be these providers and they don't have the support of a man.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying, like, the statements of men wouldn't feel fulfillment if they weren't the sole provider. I would feel a lot more
fulfillment. Yeah, now that I've painted the picture.
I would I'd be so
relaxed, man.
Imagine how much money you make, how much money I make. Like, boom, someone comes into your life and... replicates what you do for them. And I mean, honestly, day by day, you're just taking turns taking
never
care of each other.
Never speaking about equality.
It's heaven. Yes.
We're speaking about equality.
You know,
imagine somebody makes as much money as you and they treat you the way you treat them. Guys, matter society is ruined.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, but anyways, it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something my dad told me the last time I saw him, but he watches the podcast, so I don't think too much about it.
Watches the podcast?
Yeah, he does. So I don't want to speak too much about that. Okay, cool. We'll leave this one. We have a long one or a short one. Which one do you want
to
do?
I think let's jump into us. Shout out to the gang.
Let's do one.
We'll read more in the memberships.
Okay.
We'll read more in the memberships.
Okay, fair.
Memberships, we'll read a couple more and we'll make the memberships video more based on what you guys experience.
Yeah.
So head over to memberships and pay that $9.99 a month to get extra content from CTED.digest and many more shows coming soon on the platform. Also on that note, guys, we've got a live show. We've got a new date, which is very exciting. Set in stone this time. We are doing a live show at Sturkaneko Rose Bank. My man, CTED.digest with features and guests, as well as potentially as Majita on the 17th of July.
July, got it.
Sorry, 17th of July. Let's add it to his calendar.
Into my calendar.
That's very exciting, guys. So if you guys are down for that, please comment down. Live show. I do want to give away a couple of tickets for free to you guys. So comments now. There'll be an entire giveaway mechanism in an episode coming soon. We're just dotting the I's and doing the T's, crossing the T's.
And for those that use iPhone who are making the notification with me, if you go to a letter, say 1 week before or 2 days before, you'll be notified as a reminder.
Yeah, man. So let's go into the how are you on our personal levels. I think, for me, this episode is based off how I am. So, success has been something that's on my mind for years and months. And every time I see people go through downs and lows, I always remind them that success is not based off of your current moment, but what you've built, right? So I'm in a position where I've invested a lot of money into human resource, into space, into shows that haven't been yielding as much money as I'd like. I mean, CETA had a nice run last year. We were very, you know, we were breaking even, doing well. But these past few months, we haven't been doing that. Dot Digest has been an investment.
I'm so sorry, Tato.
Dot Digest has been just me pumping money into them. Like, I've been pumping money, like, in all directions, always. And they're only, you know, starting to make money now. Yeah. My personal brand took a big knock in me doing those two things. We've got two new shows, which also took a lot of my time. So I actually haven't been making enough money to cover my costs. Yeah. So I've been digging deep into my company savings for the last couple of like months. And it made me wake up in the morning and be like, like, what does success mean to me? Does success stem from my financial position and my bank balance? Or does the success stem from the systems I've built? Does success come from how people view me from the outside? Does success come from me creating employment? Does success come from me, you know, conforming to societal, you know, standards? So it really had my brain going zigga, 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 zigga. So that's where I'm at, you know? I'm also very excited at the same time because, like, I love being in a position of, like, being low because it makes me
grind
so innovative. It makes me grind really hard. So I'm excited to like see how this next month's going to go. I just see myself really, really just putting in all the work I need to put in to pick up myself and pick up my company and just make sure everything works out. Excited for tonight. I'm going to go see Manana tonight perform for the first time live. He's doing a rehearsal. So I think he's doing a rehearsal this week and then he's doing the performances the next 2 weeks. So he's also sold tickets for his rehearsal. Very excited about that. I've been going back to Homesaw. That's really good. Been trying to read the Bible a bit more. Very difficult thing to read that thing. I've been using a lot of AI to like read the Bible also and just to try to understand and get more context because I struggle to get context from just reading sometimes. I got a new tattoo, which is also very cool. Shout out to Gareth. Circle of
Ink.
Igali. I think you say Igali.
Oh, Ingaki.
Ingaki. Huh? Igali. Igali. It's hard to say. But Gareth Miller, guys, you got me my tattoo. If you guys want to get a tattoo, please come to literally where I work, where the studio is.
Right. Hey.
What?
Hey.
What?
We come here every Thursday. So come on Thursday.
Throw them off.
So come here Thursday.
Yeah, so pull through, come get a tattoo by Gareth, guys. I'll put his details in the description. Not even paid promo. He just did a great job. So shout out to him.
Oh, the Ika.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I said it right. Circle of Ikagi.
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 Okay, anyways.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm just chilling, man. I'm chilling. About the Bible thing that you said. So I was just like, I feel like I'm doing well in my faith, but I don't read the Bible.
Yeah.
So I was on TikTok, and I got into this ad, and it says that, no, we're going to give you a Bible verse on your home screen every day, you know? It's just say Bible. I was like, this is so nice. Let me download this. I'm like, you know, Jesus, like, you literally provide when you ask 99 rand and 99 rand per month. I said, Awamuna, these people are selling Jesus on a high rate. Eh? Like the Bible is being sold at a high rate, bro. This book is supposed to be the word. It's supposed to be easily accessible. But
yeah,
there's things like AI, I guess you can use and say, give me a Bible verse today. Give me a Bible verse today.
Yeah.
Give me something to you in relation
even
to
like, it. Guys, let me like literally not even like
plug you.
Co-pilot, my days. Like there's a voice feature I'm gonna do for you guys now.
Your podcast coming along.
I was speaking to him about the podcast. Yeah, hey man, how you doing? So I'm trying to get closer to God.
How you doing to AI?
Yeah, my man, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Do you really feel great?
I'm here to support you. So
but
I'm
I didn't ask if you, I said, do you really feel great?
I'm not capable of feelings.
Exactly. So don't lie. No. Don't lie to us and say, I feel great, okay? Thank you.
You got me there.
Yeah, this guy. This guy is a hoot.
Anyway, so I was saying, for example, you can ask co-pilots and be like, hey, please give me a verse today that will help me with understanding confidence from the Bible.
So it's a huge statement to make.
Hello, can you hear me?
Let's look at Philippians 4:13.
There it is.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This verse speaks to finding confidence and strength through faith.
Yeah. So my point is, guys, there's so many free tools that can help you get closer to God. So don't go and pay the 100 rand thing that Level's doing. I really enjoy using Copilot, guys. It's so amazing. It helped me plan out this whole episode and helped me be more intentional about our subject matter today. Because I didn't have to text or do this. I could just speak. And you guys can hear this person. This thing can even speak Swana, guys. Like, if you guys want to speak Swana to this thing, like...
He showed us his
like,
thing.
You can, like, it's so amazing. And it's free. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Tato.
Can you please speak to me in Swana?
Ego siame, Tato.
It's in Zulu. Swana. Setswana.
Ego siame. Nkabu ale wena ka Setswana.
Oh, thank you. Angli Zulu was bulela, ne?
Eh, ngiyabuyela Zulu.
Venda was khona?
Ngikhona, ngiyabonga.
Aw, can you speak Venda?
Ringambanga chive.
Hey!
It was gonna turn tummy ache.
For the first time, the podcast will get 6 likes. Okay, let's continue. What
yeah,
you
let's
saying?
Get into
yeah.
Let's get into it. So that was
you. How are you? Sorry. So yeah, so I'm chilling. Yeah, the Bible thing. But I'm okay. I'm taking care of myself. I'm about to renew my lease for my flat. That feels like such a grown up thing, because it's like, oh yeah, I went into this flat not knowing I could even afford it.
Yeah,
I remember moving into it, I only had a month to make the money, that's the deposits and it's like times 3 and all these things.
Yeah,
and I remember being so anxious and having nothing but a bed and a table, and now I've made a home and I'm just
yeah shout
I'm
out
just
to you You're
really signing finished. My second one, so that's a big accomplishment for me. It's been feeling good. I like to take moments like this and say, wow, well done, you're still here, you still can afford.
Yeah.
That means I did a year rent, guys, which of that year, 8 months I was unemployed.
Yeah, and counting.
I need you guys to hear me say that. Like, within a year of a lease, 8 months of unemployment, I paid rent. Sometimes I paid 2 months in advance. But anyways, I'm okay, yeah.
Yes, I wanted us to define success before we get into it, guys. I think us defining the subject matter always helps us understand it better and helps us speak about what we want to speak about and bring in personal stories a little bit better. So success is achieving desired goals, finding fulfillment, and attaining a sense of accomplishment. It varies individually, encompassing personal, professional, and societal achievements, and it often includes factors like happiness, recognition, and personal growth. So, you know, I wanted to speak about how we view success personally. The fact that's very internal. And how society views success, which I think is very external. To get you started, for example, you know, personally, I view success as, am I healthy? Is my mental health okay? Am I happy? You know, am I able? That's how people view success internally. It's your intrinsic, you know, factors. Then society is, do you have?
What car do you drive?
Do you have money? Do you have network? Do you have connections? Do you have a spouse? Are you married? I think society views, you know, success from a marriage perspective, a money perspective, where you stay, which obviously leads back to money, the car you drive. And I wanted to know, knowing those two things, how does it make you feel knowing that that's how society views success?
Yeah, so When I worked in the bank and I wore a suit every day, I felt like the most successful young black man in the country.
Which also brings purpose.
Yeah.
It's also a level of success metric.
So I was feeling like I was the most successful guy in the country, wearing a suit every day, reporting to someone, doing Excel sheets every single day, coding and all these things. I felt extremely successful, you know, moving into a dream flat, all these things. You know, very, 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 like, in my mind, like, I've made it. But when all of those things were removed, I realized success to me is what is my ability to create on this earth while I'm still alive. Like, what am I able to produce? What am I able to give myself? What am I able to give my parents? What am I able... So it's just what am I able to do, right? And I should be able to do all these things within a set time before I die. And that'll make me successful. That's how I perceive it. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not really like on a like... I don't really care what like society thinks anymore. I think when I had the corporate job, I had a high intensity of what people cared, like how people perceived me.
Yeah,
you know, which is also a large contributor to success. Like as you said, like how people perceive you is very huge. You know, when you go home and you say you work in, you know, a bank, and you people look at you with like respect. And when you go home and you say you make TikToks, there's a different level. Even though these two jobs might be making the same amount of cash,
a TikToker won't be respected
as much as or just like a nurse won't be respected like a doctor, even though they work in the same room.
Yeah, understand what I'm saying. And we see this from family a lot.
Yes, yeah.
And like parents and aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
And that comes to due to or lack of understanding of the person's career and their potential earning capacity.
Yes.
And even if the earning capacity or the earning capability is then shown. Mm. A doctor will always be respected more than a TikToker.
Even if you earn...
Or an engineer or an accountant will always be more respected than a
You can be a photographer, but if you're earning more than three engineers. But when you go home, you're still a photographer.
You take photos.
You just take photos, you know. And I've between that shift of being employed by someone, unemployed and then employed by myself now... In that gap, I've learned that success, happiness, joy is all perception of whatever I perceive. My perception is my reality. Mm. I can even tell you now, guys, I'm the most successful person in this room. Who is going to say no to me? Because I can say, no, I'm the happiest. Tato's not the happiest me. Tawang's not as happy as me. Yeah. I can say that. And you guys will be like, okay, facts. Maybe he is more successful.
Might even make us doubt our perspective of success in that moment. Which is why it's so important for you to have your core values on success. But continue.
You were talking about purpose and how that's highly tied to...
it's a metric of success.
It's a metric of
living
success.
Living in your purpose.
Living in your purpose.
Yeah.
Metrics of success. What happened? Do you think that you can have multiple purposes and fail to achieve all of them?
Yeah.
Okay. So explain to me, maybe like from your...
I think your purpose can change.
Oh yeah, I was about to say like, it's quite fluid.
Yeah, it's fluid and it can evolve. Mm. It can be born again. Mm. It can be removed. It can fail. Mm. You know, so maybe you think your purpose is, like for example, let's say Tabang thinks his purpose right now is to curate the best pieces of content for other people. You know, that's he's stuck and that's his purpose right now. But then he can execute that purpose, amazing. In 3 years' time, he could be like, no man, I needed to gain those skills for this new purpose to then be this foundation which teaches people how to do this thing. And you can become a whole institution and teach people how to create content and create podcasts. Or you can say, no, man, I learned those skills to then lead me into my purpose to become a director for movies. So I feel like your purpose can evolve and it can also fail because he can also experience this thing and be like, I actually wasn't good at this thing. I want to be a singer. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I feel like we live our daily lives and we experience different purposes and different lived experiences, which then guide us to a new objective. And I feel like we need to understand that our objectives will continuously change. I could want to become a tap dancer in 2 years because I could watch a movie about a tap dancer and it could just change my whole perspective of tap dancing and perspective and purpose.
Yeah. I want to tell a story. You know, when I was in high school choosing my subjects, right? I think my dad wanted me to do accounting, science and then he wanted me to do biology. So we had like a debate for a long time about me. I didn't really like plants and stuff, and all those things, and the powerhouse of the cell.
Meek technique.
Metrocondia. Ne? Okay, all right, sorry. Did you do by, you can tell the way you were like. So I fought my dad for a very long time, and then, not a long time, maybe like a week. And then he ended up saying, no, you can choose the last one. And I chose drama. And I always think about, if I didn't do drama,
you wouldn't be Lebo Dampedi.
I wouldn't be today. Who I was today.
At all.
Yeah, so there's...
You wouldn't be as well-spoken.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be as entertaining. You wouldn't be able to create content on social media, yes, the way you create
and
content.
And as creative. And
as creative. Because you learned set skills young.
Yeah, and improv and and script writing and, you know, making a concept and all those things, you know. Yeah. And like, I always think, you know, cool, I did accounting, but that is not my strongest skill. And cool, I did science, but that wasn't my strongest skill. Yeah. And cool, I did math, but that wasn't my strongest skill. So sometimes, in purpose, people, you know, they lean to their non-stronger skills just because that's the conventional space. So let's say engineering. Let's say you're a great artist, but they force you to do engineering. Now you're not leaning towards your greatest thing. And what happens is that people then feel unfulfilled. Because they know what they can do. They can feel this calling that I was made for more. Yeah. And it comes to you every single day. Whereas some people who are engineers, they feel like, yes, this is my calling. Like, yes. I was made to design, to create structures. Yeah. Yeah, so if you have those feelings, then, you know, you need to, as we said, like, redesign your purpose to lead to your road of success.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I want to read a study titled The Antecedents. Excuse my... You know how to say this word? The antecedents.
Yeah, the career success in corporate Black South Africa.
Yeah, so it's a study based off of the career successes in corporate South Africa. So views of Black South African professionals. So it explores successes from a personal perspective, and it highlights factors like cognitive ability. So these are all things relating to the subject matter today on success. So success... You know, they're saying it's highlighted by factors like cognitive ability, personality, ambition, and the importance of mentorship and networking. So this study, you guys, I'm going to put in the description. It offers valuable insights into the success factors for Black Africans in the corporate world. And it can serve as a reference point to understanding personal views of success in South Africa. But I read it before I got here. And it basically says that, like, bro, we as people are in this loop of what we think success is based off of external factors, like I mentioned, what society brings, and that takes us away from achieving success internally, being your mental health, your physical being, your emotional being, you know, your happiness. Yeah, I just wanted to make that.
I used to say to one of my ex-girlfriends, let's just run away right now, let's go to Durban. I will work at, you know, Wimpy. You'll work at a Spur. We'll get a small place. And let's just be happy. We'll go to the beach every Saturday, and that'll be our lives, right? I used to say this to her all the time, right? And I used to think to myself, that was the most happiest a person could be on earth.
Yeah.
Just having the right person, you know, being close to the coast.
Being in love.
Sorry, so when you were saying that, I was just like thinking, I was like deeping it. I was like, was that maybe because I was in close proximity in a relationship? And the relationship defined my success. So therefore, I've perceived me being good at the relationship and saying, okay, this relationship is my success now. Whatever will make this long and committed, that is what that's my road to success. So I'm just thinking about what you're saying.
Yeah. No, but let's talk about it because it's a big, big thing. Like success is highly viewed, like it's viewed on your relationship status.
Mm.
Like when someone hears you've just proposed to somebody, the entire mall, everyone around you will go like ecstatic and be like, wow, this guy's found love.
Whereas you're already married, no one cared for you.
If you scream, I got the job.
Yeah.
Some people will be like,
well done.
Nice. But yeah. She said yes. Mm. Wow.
I'm having a kid.
Wow. Yeah. So I feel like we need to like understand why because I feel like I've got a lot of pressure when it comes to getting married. Mm. Finding the right person.
I do think so too.
Yeah, finding the right person, having kids. And the pressure comes from my parents and my age. And I feel like I used to try and understand like, why do I feel so much pressure to have a kid? I never used to care about family and stuff. But it's seeing these proposals happen in real life. It's going to these weddings. It's seeing your friends in long-term relationships happy. And it makes you think,
don't I deserve that?
Don't I deserve that? And wouldn't that make me be successful? Yeah. I mean, in movies and even in business, we've seen that like, you know, people trust the husband more when it comes to business because he's able to make a long-term commitment to a person. You know what I'm saying? So that's a level of, that's a success metric. So I've thought about it so much like these past few weeks, and it made me realize that like, even though it's a success metric and it can help you be viewed as a man that has understanding and wealth and all these things and you can go into business, we should never rush that thing.
Yeah.
Because imagine trying to look successful then you're dating a monster.
Yeah, that's why the comparison is the thief of joy. Like, and as you said, your success should literally come from within.
Yeah.
With your own vision of yourself and yourself alone.
Yeah.
People, you know, we are born alone and we die alone. There's no two-bedroom coffins that I know of.
Yeah.
So you need to say to yourself, not, damn, I'm dating fine shit. Like, I need to get my shit together. You should be looking in the mirror and saying to yourself, damn, I don't have the life I deserve. I deserve to, you know what I mean?
True.
So, because, and like we said, with the relationship status, you know, the reason people clap so much, because we automatically know you will have to elevate your life.
You will have to.
Exactly.
Yeah, you will have to improve.
Yeah, we ought to, like the moment we hear, oh no, I'm pregnant. Oh, I'm getting married.
That guy has to work hard.
Like, it's about things. You're like, oh yes, now we know you're going to tap in. Because you have no choice.
Yeah.
You know, and I, in this topic now, I'm trying to think to myself, what does my success look like? What would I like in the end of this thing we call life?
Yo, tell us.
And honestly speaking, I don't want to think of companies and businesses and millions. I want to think of a warmth around me, my community, the people that I loved. I want to think of the fact that when I get to that space and time that I was loved, I had everything I needed, and you know, God was there and I never gave up and I overcame every obstacle that life had to throw at me.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I don't want to hear, hey, you know, you made a $1 million company. That company will be gone in 50 years, 80 years, 100,000. I want my feelings on earth to matter when I'm still here.
Yeah,
that's it. No legacies, no what. Yes, no, definitely, no. Because I've seen, I think definitely with like my dad's side, my dad's side of the family. Mm-hmm. Everyone worked so hard only in the end to be so stressed. And so, like I would rather live a life of joy.
Yeah,
peace,
if you compare dad's side, mom's side, it's different.
Yeah, like, I would rather have a life of joy and peace and
family
and satisfaction and fulfillment and good meals and good times and traveling and stuff. You know? And I think that's what my success is. Like, if I accomplish all of that.
Yeah. My success looks so different.
Yeah.
It looks so different. Like, I agree with you. Definitely, that needs to happen.
Yeah.
But for me, my success is like creating some sort of legacy and generational wealth.
You see, with the
I don't want my kids to be born and be like, how many generations have existed before me? They couldn't even leave me $1 million.
No one cooked up anything in this bloodline.
Like, how many generations, blood?
So true. So
they must
true.
Be like, okay, you know, our great grandfather Thato Mbedi left us all $3 million.
Yeah.
As long as we come up with an idea that's approved by the board of executives.
Yeah. I think humans have this perception of life after them, whereas we actually don't have that. It's a stop. It's a cold stop. There is nothing after you die.
It's heaven.
Anything. No, yes. I mean, in terms of like, you can't do anything more on earth.
Oh.
That is it.
Yeah.
That is it. So leaving generational wealth is a nice one, but also it's a thing that you will never see.
Yes, but that's...
It's a thing you'll never see.
I'm not doing it for myself. So for me,
yeah.
I want to build
I'm
wealth.
Trying to explain to you why niggas don't do generational wealth. Because they don't... it's a thing you'll never...
They're not selfless.
You never taste. How about generational wealth requires you to sacrifice this life? The next son to sacrifice half his life. And then the last son to not sacrifice at all. That's how generational wealth works.
You make a bunch of imbeciles that are drug addicts and...
Yes. Exactly that.
But yeah, but for me, like... Yes, I believe in legacy. And my legacy is more for what my family thinks of me, not the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very important. Mm-hmm. I don't care about like people in jail. Like, I want my family to be like, Thato was a leader in this family.
Mm. Same,
he held
same,
us down.
Yes.
He respected us. That he
community.
Gave us opportunities.
Yes.
He really helped us. I want that legacy. I want family legacy. And then I want my kids to live comfortable, my man. Like, I want my kids to live how I lived growing up. Mm. Like, there shouldn't be a stress of, yo, this thing is missing in the house. Yo, this thing doesn't exist.
Running out of electricity.
I'd love to match my parents or do more. And I also want to have that much wealth so I can spend time with my wife and my kids. Because I believe that, like, the reason why it's taking so long for me to find a wife, because I've got high expectations, because I want to have fun with my wife. And I want my kids to represent myself and represent my girl.
Yeah, I think...
So it can just be fun and a good time.
I think 100% agree with what you're saying. And I think my statement 100% is the same. But my focus is not money. That's what I'm trying... That's the difference of what we're saying. You see, you're saying, no, my focus is the wealth.
My focus is...
To have all of that. My focus is that thing. I don't want wealth to be... Wealth is a process. It's going to be a tool in the process. Yeah. But it's not my process.
Yeah.
It's not the end point of my process. That's what I want to think like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very nice topic. Hey?
I think for me, it's happening at the same time. It's like I'm living in that family, you know, happiness, meals, warm meals, thingy. But at the same time, there's this machine that's more, working a bit more, faster, that wants more, 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 more.
Yes,
more,
exactly. More. And I want to work until that machine says,
I just wanted us to touch on like a big thing that we've lived in. And we could even tie in some personal stories. But success and the view of success is so influenced by social media. Because we can't, like, as Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all places we go to showcase success and to showcase achievements and to show that we're okay and that we're fine. You know, it's only the few content creators that can show them being down. Mami Dearest is a good example. And when she does her podcast, she's vulnerable. She can speak about her low moments, which is beautiful. But 9 times out of 10, everyone's coming to flex on each other. Like, yo, look at my new wig. Look at this install. Look at my new kicks. Look at my trip to Cape Town. Then you go quiet for 3 months. Look at my trip to Durban. You go quiet for 3 months. Or look at my outfits, you know? And I feel like I want to share a personal story about how that has affected my view of success. I've been working on social media for 8 years now. I think about 4 years full time, right? And every time I got a campaign, I'd be happy and I would be like, okay, cool, I'm doing my thing. But when I would see people creating content in the same niche as me, getting the brands that I would have loved to work with, I wasn't there like, I'd be happy for them, like, congratulations. But it would take away from how I viewed my success. Even though I was financially able, I had built a nice life for myself. Once I saw, for example, Sabelo working with Anivia, I'd be like, damn, what did I do wrong? What aren't I doing? Should I be pitching more? And that can be healthy, you know, competition, but it was doing something bad, which is pulling away from how I viewed my success. Mm. So I think from that personal story, I just want to say to everyone watching at home, we need to be very careful of what we consume on social media and that comparison thing. Because when we compare and we take away from self, it can really diminish your mood and your energy for the entire day. I think we need to learn, like, for example, I've learned to be able to see my people in the same space as me achieve greater things, and that doesn't take away from my success. It just makes me more ambitious, which is, I think, a good thing. It makes me work harder, but it shouldn't take away from the success and the thing that you've built for yourself.
Yeah, I think for me, like, just be careful of, like, pedestal mindset, you know, putting things on this pedestal that should have no value in your life. For example, like a random social media person making content with a brand, like, your opportunities are your opportunities, purely and only yours. Mm. There are people that wish for your opportunities. There are people that wish for your life. You must always move in gracefulness and gratitude and humbleness, because the lives that we have now are the lives that God intends for us now. Yes, it's not what we want, but it's not the end point.
Yeah.
That is why they call it life. It's why they call it living. You know what I mean? There's still more to see. I always think to myself about myself in primary school. You know, I applied to be a representative, a leader in the school, and I didn't get it.
You were so sad.
And I was so sad. And then and then high school came, I applied to be a representative again. I didn't get it.
You're so
and
sad.
Then in Res, I applied to become a leader again. I renamed the Res. I did not get it. And I was...
did ever even look with like your acting?
Yes.
You never get the best...
I'd get supporting. And then I'd win the best supporting actor award in that genre, showing I was a great actor. But I was never the leader. I was never the top dog.
Yeah.
But does that mean that I did not have a great time in primary school, a great time in high school, and a great time in res? Absolutely not. Sometimes we plan, but God decides.
Yeah.
We can plan 106 things, but God decides ultimately where we will be. And it's all about taking the resources and everything that you have in your caliber, or whatever, your repertoire, and every day grinding to make those things better, to live the life that you think you deserve. And maybe somehow, somewhere, you'll get something extremely better than that. Mm. That's how I see this whole thing. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what you think. I wanted to ask you, actually, for the people back home, you know, because we're talking about success. For the people back home who are just saying the words over and over, I don't know why I'm so unsuccessful. I don't know what to do. I don't have any direction. I don't know. I'm in this hole, this black hole. I can't get my marks right. Oh my God, this person's leaving me. They're breaking up with me. I'm not successful in my relationship. I'm not successful in my finances. I'm so broke. Every day I'm waking up, I'm taking naps. What do we say to those people who feel so unsuccessful?
Yeah.
Because those are the real people that need help.
Yeah.
You know?
The first thing that comes to mind is routine and discipline.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind. I think we all need to fall into some sort of routine which allows for us to achieve our goals. And for that routine to exist, you have to have discipline to enforce that routine.
Like, yeah, that's the
answer. Literally it, bro. Like, there's no shortcut. There's no... Like, we can say, write down this and, you know, motivate yourself. I can say three words to affirm yourself and give yourself... At the end of the day, whatever strategies you use around this thing, discipline and routine is the only way you'll be able to leave a slump, you know, work towards success. And I think with me, like, one thing that I do, it's such a bad habit, I've tried to stop it. When I'm going through those slumps, I try solve all my slumps in a day. So like, okay, today I'm going to wake up at 5, work until 2 a.m. I'm going to plan out my life, put everything on the table, look at this department, look at that department, and fix everything. Then I'm going to call my team and say, Tabang, we need to do this. Mbali, no, bro. You need to literally plan out, but understand that even in this action, things take time. Like, I remember yesterday... Yeah.
Things do take time.
Yeah, because I was doing the financial 3 days ago. Yesterday, I was like, okay, cool, I need to like plan out everything and make sure that Dot Digest is not paying for Dot Digest. Seated is paying for Seated. And then Dot Digest and Seated must pay for Tabang and Bali, Ruby and my... Yeah, and then I must get my bundles and pay for my stuff. So I was trying to plan out everything and make sure that everything is paying for itself. And then I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to solve it. I'm going to do it. Then I was like, whoa, bro, you can't solve that in a day. Like... Relax. So I said, okay, cool, you got the idea. So I wrote down maybe for 30 minutes. Then I went out for dinner. And I said, you need to take care of yourself, my man.
Yeah.
Then I went out for dinner. I went out for dinner with someone that I really enjoy spending time with. Had a great time at dinner. I got back home. I relaxed. And I said, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to do what I have to do. I have to go shoot the podcast.
Big, 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 big theme in all things mental health, execution, discipline is time. I want to say a statement right now. It took how many years to finish high school? 6?
I don't know, 5?
8, grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, grade 12. 5 years. It took 5 years to finish high school. 4 years to finish university. How many years do you think it'll take to make you a millionaire? Take your time. It took how many years to get you out of crèche, to make you stop taking naps and eat and pooping yourself? It took a long time. And I think the number one thing that people that are in slums, that are like in this black hole, is, and this ever need to just escape, or like, you know, or, you know, the dark side of like suicide thoughts and all those things, is because you just feel like you're running out of time. Like, this is it. It's supposed to be happening. This mindset of it's supposed to be happening for me now. And I've been very humbled by God, guys. I think I prayed, I don't know when I prayed for patience. I think I was 6 or something. And then he showed me in my 20s patience constantly. And I want to say that, like, yo, bro, like, your time is coming. I know it's such a cliche to say, but it is really true. Your time really is coming. We all get these times where everything feels so beautiful, everything feels so bright. And we get these times where everything feels so dark, so negative. It's all about perception. It's all about taking your time with things and being kind to yourself above all. Because this, you determine life, your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was a good answer, by the way. Your answer was very, 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 very
I think
very
we can good. Go into top five.
We even skipped Lerata Ditaba, guys. Yeah. I didn't want to say it until the thing. But okay, top five. Actually, today's top five is first dates. Like, where would you take people for first dates? We're saying all places, first dates. Yeah, that was it. Let me see if I'm right. That's what I said. Yeah, we will be adding an R factor. So I'll add a five R's, which is five W's in the word R, because it's top five. I'll tell you that how cute is that in my opinion or not, and vice versa. Okay. Out of five. Okay.
An R meter.
Yeah, an R meter. Like, oh, okay. That's a five. Okay, go ahead.
First date, a banger, horse riding. It's a banger date.
Okay, I'll say two W's, so R.
I've done it before. It's a lot of fun. Like,
it's like a, you drive, I'm trying to picture myself. Okay, like, take me
so
through it. Sure.
So like, yeah. I can't pick you up.
Sure.
You know, come pick you up. Sexy Suzuki. You know, sure. I'm like, hey, sure. Oh my gosh, you look beautiful today. Get into the, open thank your door.
Thank you.
Get into the car, baby. I say, let's go past the garage. Woolies one, of course, Zoom.
Yeah, get some water.
Get some water, some juice, some snacks, some salami sticks.
Can I have these?
Of course. Get back into the sexy Suzuki. Reverse. Okay, we park.
Oh, there's a camera here. Sorry.
Yeah, as you're parking, as you're parking, you're hearing kutuku.
Ah, la, la.
It's the horses passing.
Yeah.
Then now you get out, you know, you dress comfortable, you're holding her hand, she's got her purse.
Sure.
Walking towards to go pay. Horse riding for two, please. Okay, cool. What's your guys' weights?
What's that smell? It's the smells like shit.
It's the horse. And then you tap, ooh, then from there you get
it's a very strong this smell. It's
and then you get your helmet.
Yeah.
And then you hop on.
The horse smells like this also. It's not just outside. The horses also smell like this.
I'll take your two W's. I'll take your two W's.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I'm saying the classic, a movie and dinner.
Movie and dinner.
Let me explain to you why. Movies as a date. This is a first date. Like, you so asked nervous. Out someone who basically don't have any connection. At least when you get to dinner, you can talk about what?
The movie.
What a great baseline. You know what I mean?
Fair.
You can also test the jokes. I would have done this in the movie. You know? It's the perfect first date. Like, on God. So that's my talk. How many odds did I get from that
three,
one?
Three.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Uh-huh. I'll take that. That's
like
win.
The reason. Like, yeah. Because I'll be thinking, we get to the movie, I'm anxious. I don't know if I can bamba your hand.
Now you calm. Everything you're doing now, you say, let me touch you a little bit, touch at that, but not too much. I could save the kiss for the end.
Of the
but
movie.
Now you've touched, you've communicated, and you've loved the darling.
Don't touch my chin ever again. I'll break your jaw. I'm joking. I've always wanted to say that before.
Like, yeah, it's such a hectic thing to say.
Watch
out. Watch your back.
I'll break your jaw.
I always want to say, watch your back. Watch your back. What does that even mean?
I was going to say I'll break a jaw.
Okay.
Time I've never even hit anybody in the past 3 years.
Yeah, okay. So what's your next one?
I'm going to think about the dates I go to.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So I love me a good restaurant.
Yeah.
Like Nomad.
Just dinner.
Dinner. Take you to Nomad for dinner. We talk. We just drink dinner. Wine. We take shots. Afterwards, we go for a walk. Monte Cassino, if you walk towards the hotel side, there's like a water feature. You can go for a walk.
Okay.
Walk. And then
so like a high school date, like a high school date type vibe.
You took girls to a Nomad in high school?
No, not really. No, I get what you said.
Don't try to diminish my dates.
Okay, yeah, real. Three out of five.
And then from there, we go to the cars and we have a conversation. I was like, ish.
The car?
Yes, we're going to the car.
Ooh, I've been talking. I'm full tired though. You took me to the fountain. Yes. Now I'm in the car. When am I going home?
Those are the best dates. The date banks much that you don't want to go home.
Real. Okay, three out of five. Actually, I'll even go as far to say 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that's
because that's a classic in the in culture.
Yeah, date, walk, car.
Date, walk.
Do you play music in the car?
Car, drive home.
And we play band. We play song for song.
Yeah, band for band. It's nice. It's cute. I'm gonna go with picnic. I think that it's underrated.
Picnic is more like in relationship.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like first date picnic. You're right. You're right.
Picnic is like because you want to go to the shops with your girl, pick out the stuff together.
No. In my world, you first everything she just lands.
Just land. I'm gonna buy things she doesn't like.
I'm gonna get to know her. It's a first date. Oh, sorry. Next time I buy. You know. And if she's a doers,
talk.
If she's a doers, you know immediately because picnics. If a person's uncomfortable, they act in a certain way, like immediately.
Get some alcohol, blankets.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go on a picnic. That sounds nice.
And I didn't finish my statement. It's a picnic braai, guys. Like, you know, you guys have never had the two-man braai.
No.
Tato, you've never braaied with just a hand.
No.
Come on, are you hearing this, bro?
Wait, where have you braaied with just a hand?
Oh, dude, in university,
where do you take them?
You have a braai stand. So basically, you just prepare braai. It's like a picnic type vibe.
Oh, I've done it on a vacation.
You see? Yes, I know exactly the vacation.
They're on the way to
San Diego. I didn't get back.
That was crazy.
It was what?
It was amazing. I was in the Airbnb.
Yeah, real.
Hey, my next one, Airbnb.
Airbnb. Oh, yeah. And it's an
And we're drinking what?
Hennessy. Tequila.
Hennessy, tequila shots.
Doodum.
Mm-hmm. Should we go to the pool?
Doodum.
You know, that's a hotel. Airbnb. Yeah, Airbnb.
Well, you know what I hate about Airbnbs? Is when you bring a hand that's like an itinerary queen. Okay. So I think at 2 p.m. we need to, and then 3 p.m. I saw it closes at the relax. Let's take off our clothes.
Yeah.
And you know, and then
let me play a song. You dance with me, baby. When I talk like that, I'm like, oh, Shakira.
Yeah. Do you have any Zuzi promo codes? Like, let's switch on.
Let's switch on.
Not a person like. Trust me, I love it still. Don't get me wrong. Like, I really do love an itinerary babe. Like, itinerary babe. But yeah. Okay, I'll go my next. You said Airbnb.
Yeah.
So that's three now. No? Yeah. Okay, awesome. Oh, this is a tough one, eh? Because you stole my one. I wanted to say dinner as well, but I want to be creative.
Okay.
That was my third one, dinner though.
Okay.
Just dinner. The ultimate test. Final exam. Memo's not even out yet.
Just dinner.
The lecturer still has the memo. It's not uploaded anywhere. New test. Because a dinner is a...
compatibility test.
It's a compatibility test from the get-go.
Yeah.
I'm going to say bowling. What a way to show your woman...
that you're a provider.
You're a leader. I'm the guy.
No, come on. You need to just... Hey, but what happens if you can't bowl?
No. Why are you taking it? Then you just have the conversation of like, you know, I'm not really good, but I just wanted to enjoy this with you.
Or maybe if she wins, you say, I let you win. Cause
You know. I've done the let you win thing before. It didn't slap.
It didn't slap?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always... Hear me out, man. This might sound crazy. It can be a dream for most of us.
So it's your four?
Talking to a
bear. Wait, how many R's out of R? Bowling.
Bowling. Two.
Two. Yeah. Damn. Tough crowd today. I'm not winning today, yeah?
Yeah, two. It's like, I think it'll bang if like... If you said crackerzack bowling. Because then it's like not too competitive.
Just normal bowling. Like it's bowling and arcade, obviously. Because I get it to buy one, get one free.
It's too fast. Like, or bowling and arcade.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay, then you get 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because if it's bowling, just it finishes too fast. What do we do now?
Obviously.
I have to get a new date. Do I take you home? Like, it's tricky.
Look, when I go bowling, if I go bowling, I always eat after.
I'll bowl twice. So I'll bowl twice, but I won't tell the girl. So I'll bowl the first
time. Yeah, I'll tell them. Yeah,
bowl. And then I'll say, "Do you want to go again?"
Based on how fun it is, you say it again.
Hear me out. Like, this is like gonna be for the influencers. Yeah. When you get invited to an event and you get a plus one, that is always a peak date.
Like La Jambisa. La Jambisa. There will be signs.
I'm exposing myself.
La Jambisa. La Jambisa. Not me.
Yeah. Like I remember one time we got invited by a hotel to do like a Valentine's Day special.
Oh yes, right.
So like pressure, like, yo guys, this hotel invited us to come as Manjita.
It's a plus one.
It's like a five, six course meal.
Come with four different wines.
Okay, with five shits. Yo. We have the best days. We went salsa ring afterwards, even tequila.
Okay, I'm gonna say
like a free date. Come on. Yeah. We've taken gold to the
It's a free date, basically.
We've taken go to the
but
movies.
But how many people are going to relate to that one? That's a very rare one, poison. That's a very rare one, poison. That's what I'm going to say. No W's, just zero. But for me, like, that's five. Five W's in the chair.
Yeah.
All right, for me, I'm going to go with a very controversial one, but vacation first date.
I was going to say that.
What a beggar. But
I was thinking.
But the likelihood... of the relationship lasting after the Airbnb and zero. The vacation, all those is...
because you're starting way too high.
You started,
I feel like you need to. I definitely say, oh, like all of the W's. But like when you put her there,
it's hard to
take her from there to
back to home. And then
she must cook pap. And she's still. And you only give her four pieces, three
which
pieces.
Which is cooking pap and munyaka. Pap in 4 ways.
I was going to say, like, trip to Cape Town. Like,
yeah.
But that one needs you to like, yo, it needs you to have saved.
Guys.
And you must have thought about it. Texting, and it's like.
You texting the girl on some like, yo, next week, you want to cover me to Cape Town?
I've done that before.
Exactly.
Like work trip.
I've done work trip.
Oh, you guys are playing.
It wasn't a work trip. I was already in Cape Town. I was like, yo, I wish you were here. And she was like, yo, can I come? I didn't fly her out. She flew herself out. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, for me, it was the Prince Harry. Okay, man.
Hey, don't expose yourself. Stop there, man. Who's the new queen? King. Okay.
Anyway, I had a work trip. I had to go to Cape Town.
Oh, yes.
And then I was getting paid to go speak. Mm. And I was like, to this one, baby, I was like, yo, listen, like,
this vibe.
Do you want to land? Like, let's go. And she's like, yeah, I'm like, but there's an event happening later at night. So yeah. I need to go buy you a dress. Yeah. So do you mind if we go shopping before we leave? She's like, cool. Take her to Zara. Get a young, fine black piece. You know what I'm saying? Then from there, we pack our bags. We sit or our tumbleway. Check into the Airbnb. That night, I said, baby, I'll see you later. I went to the club with my bros. I left her alone. And she watches the podcast. Damn it. I went to the club with my bros. Well, I went to dinner first with the team. Yeah. And then I met up with Tushing and then went to the club.
Yeah.
Then the next day I chilled with her and everything.
Now that thing is too.
And then after that trip, a week later, she said, I think we should be friends.
I think mine, after 3 weeks after the trip, we stopped being together.
Yeah, she said, I think we should be friends.
Yeah. But Shay, this, I mean.
Yeah. That's my girl.
Anyways.
Yeah. It's like my sister down, yeah.
Sorry, just seeing someone looks like my sister look alike from the back. Okay, final one. You want to go off or should I go off? Final one. The last one of top five.
Should I go? You can go.
You can go.
Bringing a hun to like work with me is always such like a nice, like, it's not a date, but it's like a nice, like, yeah, I'm that nigga.
I'm going to go with the yo, let's come over and let's have a movie night at my place.
Oh, yeah. Sex with me, so
it's not about that. I just feel like, no, it tells you a lot about the person. Like, like keep in mind, when they come in and they...
I've also seen you, Shia, the one where you bring a baby to spa.
Which... Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah, the boys and I shoot like an Asma Jira video.
I used to do that. Like, I felt like a rapper that's inviting a hun to the studio, basically. It's the equivalent. Okay, but anyways, guys, that was top five. You guys let us know at C2Riff on our Instagram what you think top five is for best first dates. And if you guys can't wait for that, go check out the comment section right now to play top five with us in this very moment. Thank you to getting to this point in the video. Let's continue.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Please subscribe. Final remarks.
Yeah, we did our final remarks before. See you guys next week. Love you guys down. Please do subscribe. And don't forget, guys, we're doing a live show very, very soon. I'm so nervous. So just say good luck for planning. And yeah, we'll see you guys on the 17th of July.
Oh, also, guys, like, just thank you.